Line and talk with Doug Adler, who's the Senior Vice President of Investments for Raymond James in East Lansing. Doug, how are you?
Hey, Tony. Good morning.
Thanks so much for being with us. A few things I wanted to talk about. The market seems to be in a unusual place. It always is, but the economy seems to be holding. People are hiring, but gas prices are high. So we're at a time where the market must be more confused than ever.
And we're coming into earnings season. So it's really, we're at a bit of an inflection point. You know, you mentioned gasoline prices, and, you know, they've stabilized in this $3.90 to $4 area. But the move up, Tony, has been pretty large, as we know. And every penny that gasoline ticks up, it takes about $1 billion to $1.5 billion out of consumer spending. So it really has a material impact, no question about it.
Doug, I recently read a piece in USA Today's money section written by Matt Krantz, and it says a 10% correction is a ways off for a wobbly market, but it's already a reality for many stocks. Tell me about a correction that some stocks make.
Well, you know, it's there's kind of an old line, at least one that I use, that, you know, is the market fully engaged, which is to say, are all the stocks, let's take the Dow Jones for an example. There's 30 companies in the Dow Jones Industrial Average. If the market is fully engaged, most of those stocks, 90%, let's say, they should be moving up. When you get a market that's a little bit like ours right now, it looks pretty good on the surface. You know, we've had a good start to the year. There's no question about that. And you mentioned the economy. You know, it's not great, but it's certainly better. Hiring has been decent, not great, but certainly better. You know, all those things are kind of good, but if you look at, like, the Dow again, Tony, it's interesting. You'll find companies, and these are world leaders, Johnson & Johnson, McDonald's, Exxon, Chevron, Boeing. These companies are all down on the year. So we've had this nice sprint to the upside in the stock market, but you have companies across, you know, several different industries, world-leading companies, and they're actually down in price. And so you got to ask yourself, at least to some degree, gosh, if it's so good, why aren't these companies, you know, working?
It seems there is somewhat of a boom, and it doesn't get talked about much, but there's a boom with getting the oil and gas, especially from the shale around the country. There are some parts of Jackson County, Michigan, where this is being done. There's some parts in Arkansas, some parts in the Dakotas. Are you seeing any new information about this from the stock sense?
Well, let me just broadly brush this and say this. This is huge for this country. I mean, this is unbelievable. You mentioned you just kind of let in, I don't know what your previous conversation was. I apologize, I missed it, but it had something to do with debt, it sounded like, government debt. And that's obviously an issue for us. But here is a secular change that could be wildly bullish for the U.S. economy, and that's cheap energy. We have the capacity, meaning the stuff is in the ground, it's proven, we know where it's at, we know how to get it. Gas, natural gas liquids, oil, you know, et cetera, through shale. And this has the potential to the U.S., I'll just summarize it this way, Tony. In 2 years, it's completely conceivable that the United States is a net exporter of fossil fuels. Exporter of fossil fuels net in 2 years. That's how big this is.
Christina Rexrode from the Associated Press wrote on Wednesday morning that the stock market suffered its worst loss of the year on Tuesday because of uncertainty about coming corporate earning reports and concerns about Spain's borrowing and what's happening in Europe. What's your take on that?
Yeah, I think it's dangerous over there still. There's no question. I don't know what happened, but when January 1st hit, you know, everything that happened in 2011 that had to deal with Europe suddenly didn't matter. Yeah, we just kind of took Greece and Southern Europe and, you know, put it underneath the rug and we moved on. I don't think it's quite that easy when you have the situation and the debt-to-GDP ratios that we have over there. And Spain, Now, the market and participants in the market are definitely most worried, I would say, about Spain and Italy due to the size of the debt and due to the size of their economies. And here's another example. You know, I mentioned the Dow, where you have some leading companies that actually are not performing all that well. Same thing's happening in Europe. Europe's had a pretty good year, better than the U.S. in a lot of, in the case of a lot of different countries. But Spain is down more than 10% on the year. And, you know, you can't kind of help but ask yourself, and this is what I'm asking myself at least, Tony, is if the problem is solved there, why are certain markets like Spain acting like the problem still exists? And I think that's a fair question to ask. And people ultimately always vote, investors always vote with their wallet. What I mean by that is that they're buying if they're bullish and they're selling if they're bearish. And in the case of Spain, they're selling.
Doug, if I had some extra cash lying around, I would buy Apple stock now that the value of it's worth more than $600 billion.
I'll take the other side of that.
Really?
You know, I'm a contrarian. I tend to think that when most people think one way, I kind of want to try to get on the other side. And, you know, Apple's obviously a phenomenal company. I have a lot of their products. They're great. You know, they're great. There's no question about it. But everybody, Tony, is into that trade, so to speak. I mean,
so now's the time to sell, sell, sell.
That's what I think. You know, I don't know that I want to be short the stock, betting on it declining, but I don't know that I'd want to put capital into it, I can tell you that.
And before we let you go, anything new that we should be looking for as far as reports or other economic indicators?
Well, the one thing that was surprising this week is Alcoa, the big aluminum company, they're kind of the designated kickoff company for earnings season, and they came in this week better than expected, both on their earnings. They're actually supposed to lose money. They made money, and their revenue guidance was strong. And I would tell you, they're a perennial disappointer. So that was pretty encouraging. I think what we're going to need to see is what the outlooks are. Companies should have pretty good quarters. First quarter results should be pretty good. But what are they saying as we look forward? And I'll tell you, there's some bigger economic reports over the last 3 weeks that have actually started to tilt to the downside. And so I'm wondering if this kind of bump we had in the fourth quarter in the first 2 months of this year wasn't more driven by an inventory rebuild on the corporate level as opposed to kind of real economic growth. So the data is going to kind of sort itself out, I think, over the next month. In addition to that, companies are going to be telling us what they're seeing on the ground, and that should set the tone as we move through the second quarter.
Doug Adler is the Senior Vice President for Investments for Raymond James in East Lansing. Doug, thanks so much. Always enjoy talking with you.
Tony, my pleasure. I enjoyed it, too.